Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, church. Love you so much. Miss you so much. But right now I'm going to invite our wonderful leader, Pastor Jason, to come and bring us around the word this morning. So give it up, woohoo, in your lounge room as he comes to bring the word of God to us this morning.
Thank you, my dear wife. Thank you, Pastor Trina. That was a really great job. And yes, hello again and welcome to Gateway Online. I've been thinking a lot about a particular kind of people group, and that particular people group are the parents of young children. I just want you to know that we are thinking of you, as Pastor Trina said. You know, we miss all of you, but I think, again, the parents of young children, particularly those who are homeschooling at this time, you guys have been very much on my heart. And we just want you to know, again, that we're thinking of you, we're praying for you. In fact, I'm going to pray for you in just a few moments. But I saw something really funny during the week, and we're going to get that on the screen right now. And this is for those who are homeschooling their children. It says, "You lied. My kids are not a joy to have in class." So, hey, I just wanted to say, just wanted to bring a little bit of humor. And I just wanted to say to every parent who is homeschooling at this time, I just want you to know that you're doing a great job. In fact, you're a hero. And I reckon it would be really challenging in these times, just homeschooling during isolation and things like that. I just want you to know that you're doing a great job. And take it easy on yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself. Be kind to yourself. And I just want you to know that you're doing better than you think. And I'm just going to pray for you right now, because once again, I just feel that God has put the parents of young children on our hearts. And so, Father, we just pray a special blessing. Everyone agreeing. We just pray a special blessing upon every parent who is homeschooling at this time. We thank you, God, for grace. We thank you, God, for wisdom. We thank you, God, for joy and for peace in everyone's heart, and that the children will be well behaved and receptive in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right. Well, today I want to talk about something that's very much in God's heart, and something that is about to become an even greater focus for us here at Gateway. And this is on the subject of life groups. Today I'm going to take you on a journey in the book of Acts as we track the extraordinary and explosive growth of the early church, and just what their strategy was when it came to caring for the people, because isn't it true, it's all about people and how we can become better at caring for people. But before we begin, I just want to say that the word acts, by definition, means to take action. It means to do something, to take initiative. Can I just say to someone out there right now, I know that there might be times when you're feeling a little bit demotivated to do anything at home, but I just want to encourage you to take action, just to get up and just to do something. You know, I've always said that positive motion leads to positive emotion. And, you know, I think it's also one of the reasons why the Bible says that the spirit within us is always willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, the flesh is always seeking its own comfort. But let me tell you something. If you just stand up and step out and take action and take initiative, it won't be too long before the flesh catches up with that desire within you. And so, again, by definition, it means to take initiative and to move forward. And because we're a church also moving forward, we're focusing on this early church so that we as a church can learn from them and follow their New Testament example and continue to grow. So, okay, let me take you on this amazing journey of their exponential growth. Are you ready? Okay, buckle up. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 15, and we read, "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, and altogether the number of names was about 120. And so here we have 120 believers who were waiting in the upper room where Jesus commanded them to be, which is after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and is also prior to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Let's go now to Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Now, this is after they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and we read, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were saved and added to them." Now that means that one chapter later, and in one day, they became what we would call today a megachurch. Now, some might say, well, you know, I don't believe in a megachurch. Well, at the end of the day, God clearly does. But I just want to say that being a megachurch is not the focus, and it ought not to be the selfishly ambitious goal. Because at the end of the day, it's about being the church, and that's our goal, and that's our focus. But let's go now to verse 47 of Acts chapter 2. Remember, I'm going to take you on a journey of this early church's exponential and explosive growth. And so we read there, "And they were praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." And so after an explosive start, this church now is in addition mode, where at least 365 people are being added to the church annually. It says that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, I would like to suggest that it was more than just one or two people. I would say that there would be, you know, people's, you know, spouses, husbands, wives, and wives' husbands, and aunts and uncles and children. And so the word tells us that many were being added daily. Moving along now to Acts chapter 4, verse 4, and it says, "However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Wow, what? Hey, Pete, I know that you're watching with your dear wife, Deb Walters. How would you like to cook a barbecue for 5,000 men? Who knows? It could be coming your way. Let's have a look now at what happens in only the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, verse 14. And it says, "And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." Now, I looked up the word multitude, and the best definition that I could find was a very large number. Now, we already know that 5,000 men had been added. Again, that's not mentioning their wives, their families, but we could safely say that a multitude had to do now with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of those whom the Lord was adding to this early church. But it gets better. Let's read what happens next in Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And it says, "Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." Multiplication is defined as to calculate the result of repeated additions of two. But it gets even better than this. Let's turn to Acts chapter 21, verse 20, and we read, "And when they heard it, being the gospel, they glorified the Lord, and they said to him, 'You see, brother, how many myriads,'" that's the word I want to focus on right there, "'how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the things of God.'" Now, the word myriad is a very exciting word. By definition, it means a countless or extremely great number of people, or things. And so let me sum it up for you now in just one book of the Bible, the book of Acts, which is all about taking action, showing initiative. Let me sum up what we've just read in one sentence. This church began with 120 people. It then grew in one day to 3,000, to daily addition, to 5,000 men, to multitudes, to multiplication, and finally to myriads of countless people. I love that. 5,000 men, to multitudes, to multiplication, to myriads. But my questions are this. Where did they put all of these people? And what was this early church's strategy and structure to love and serve all of these people and to meet all of their needs? Well, I believe that there's actually two primary answers given. But because of this COVID-19 season that we're in, we're going to focus on just one. But both answers to both questions can be found in Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And it says, day after day, they met, number one, in the temple courts, and number two, from house to house. It says they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. And so number one, the answer is temple courts. Courts being plural meaning more than just one, not just one temple court, but multiple temple courts. Here at Gateway, we also have multiple temple courts. We have Gateway to the Glory of God. We have Gateway Lavington. We have Gateway Gingera. A big shout out to all of our Gingerites right now. Fiona Schultz, I know that she's watching with the Pilts kids. Hello to April. Hello to Brent. Big Piltsy out there in Gingera and all of our other family out there. We also have a temple court in Busia County, Africa. A fourth temple court in Okara City, Pakistan. And of course, this temple court, which is a digital platform in the form of Gateway Online. But number two is what we're going to focus on primarily in this season, as I stated at the beginning, which is from house to house, being smaller faith gatherings, what we call here at Gateway life groups. We're in a season of COVID-19, but we're going to be primarily focusing on life groups online until some of the restrictions have been lifted in this season, because my wife and I heard throughout the week, and there's been quite a bit of talk about the restrictions being lowered or lifted, and both. And we're in the near future, we should be able to gather in small groups of 10. And so that means, you know, life groups can be both online and on site. And we can also have some watch parties where you can gather together of a Sunday, host a watch party, which I think would be fantastic. But in case you don't know, there's 28 chapters in the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is still being written today. And you are the writer of the 29th chapter. You are the writer of the chapters following. And because this New Testament strategy that we've already read in the book of Acts doesn't just apply to then, it also applies today. And when we apply New Testament strategies, we get New Testament results. And so, if we want to be New Testament biblical Christians in 2020, then for us today, it's about both temple courts, which looks like attend and see, attend online, attend on site when we're able to do that in the future. And it also looks like from house to house, in our context, life groups, which looks like belong and be. So temple courts, attend and see, to life groups, belong and be. And so in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says, every day They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Now, the thing I love about all of this is that life groups equals community, both large and small. And I see that there's two great words in the word community. The first word is com, and the second word is unity, which equals community. The word com is a noun and is short for communication. Life groups are all about bringing communication. And the way that we bring communication throughout life groups is through God's word, as we come together and different ones have the opportunity to share around God's word, where discussion is facilitated. It's also a time of Q&A, question and answer time, and where we can also exercise another form of communication, both to God and to one another, and we call that today prayer. But then there's another word called unity, which is the state of being united, cooperative, collaborative, joined together as one. In case you don't know, one of the first things that Jesus did in his earthly ministry was to establish a life group. Now, you know, across the world, different churches, different ministries call these smaller weekly, like midweek gatherings, different names, names such as cell groups or connect groups. And but we call them life groups. But that's one of the first things. And I just think that it's important to note that one of the first things that Jesus did was establish a life group where he gathered 12 disciples. In Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Now it came to pass in those days that Jesus went up to a mountain to pray." And note this, it says that he continued all night in prayer to God. Take a look at what follows afterwards. And it says, "And when it was day," or in some versions it says daybreak, "he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12. So really, the purpose for why Jesus went up to a mountain and prayed all night was to believe God for a life group, those he was going to gather to himself. This life group became the environment, which is the purpose for all life groups. It became the environment for teaching, asking questions, and growing in spiritual maturity and in our faith walk. And so we also want to model Jesus' method of making disciples, which is achieved by starting life groups around the world. And this is a beautiful thing about, you know, having life groups online. This is not limited to a geographical place right now. It's not limited to just Aubrey Wodonga or Gingera. About a couple of weeks ago, I began to connect with a great brother who's a church planter in Washington, D.C., and he invited me to become a part of his life group, and I'm going to do the same for him. So the reality is, I don't know who's listening right now, but it's, who knows, there are people listening from all over the world in various places. I want to extend an invitation to you. If you don't have a local church home, a place that you can call your spiritual home, then I want to invite you to be a part of our home. And so if you would like to become a part of one of our life groups, what you can do now is go to our webpage, and if you go to the top right-hand corner of the page, if you go to Life Groups and then click on Life Groups, a drop bar will fall, and if you then click on a tab called Life Groups Sign Up, you can register your interest and one of our team will be in touch with you. And so life groups are not the latest thing. In fact, life groups have been around since Jesus' day, and they were his method for equipping, encouraging, and empowering God's people for their God-given purpose on earth. But in order to have a clearer vision for life groups, we need to have a clear answer for the purpose or our why for life groups. And our purpose for life groups can be summed up in one word, and that one word is relationship. So what are life groups? Life groups are smaller communities of faith ranging from a minimum of 3 people with a maximum of 12 that gather throughout the week. They can gather weekly, fortnightly, and once again, if you go to our webpage, you can even click the kind of life group that you are expressing interest in. And so, as I've already stated, these are opportunities for interactive Bible study, Q&A, prayer, food, once we're back on site, support, and opportunities to convert knowing what the Bible says into doing what the Bible says, which is the most important of all. And so, who are life groups for? Everybody. You might be asking, you know, do I have to be a part of Gateway, or do I have to be a Christian in order to be a part of one of your life groups? The answer is no. This is for everyone. And, you know, there are so many people who are just looking for a safe environment to ask good questions about faith, about eternity, about life after death, about heaven and hell, about Judgment Day. And I just want to say that, you know, this is a safe place for you to be able to ask such questions. And so once again, consider today going to our webpage. That'll be on the screen right now. And if you're new here at Gateway Online, or if you're looking for a new church, if you click one of the buttons there at the top right-hand corner of the webpage, if you click on I'm New, once again, you can just fill in your details, express your interest, and one of our team will be in touch with you. And so what have we learned today as we begin to close? We've learned that the church life, growing in our faith life, in the ministry life, is about number one, temple courts, and number two, going from house to house. It's about both. And so on the subject of life groups, we're going to continue this New Testament subject, 7 p.m. this Wednesday night at our All-In Leadership Development Night. We have these Leadership Development Nights on the first Wednesday of every month. And so, as Pastor Trina stated, we're going to be so blessed by having our music ministry lead us in worship, which is going to be really inspiring. And we're going to take a look at some next steps when it comes to life groups. We sure do hope that you will join us there. We're going to come to a close now, but before we close every broadcast, we love to give people the opportunity to respond to the gospel. And the way that we're going to do that is by giving someone the opportunity to pray a prayer. And this prayer that we want to invite you to pray is a prayer for salvation. And if you know, for whatever reason, that you're just far from God, it could be that once upon a time you were on fire for the things of God. It could be that, again, for whatever reason, you're just finding yourself at this time in life where you're being stirred on the inside to know what the truth is regarding eternal life. It could be that you've got a lot of questions about your purpose here on the earth. I just want to say that if you fall into any of those categories, or if you've never made a commitment or given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ before, then it begins with prayer. You know, on the cross, when Jesus was being crucified next to two criminals, one criminal said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And even though Jesus was dying upon the cross, he turned and he was gasping for his last breaths. He turned to that criminal and he said, "I tell you the truth, most assuredly, you will be with me today in paradise." And that same assurance that Jesus gave the criminal is the same assurance that we have today. That if we will come into a place of acknowledgement that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, God will forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us on the inside, and you'll have a place in eternity with Jesus. The Bible talks about it. You can read about it in the last three chapters of the last book of the Bible. It's called the Book of Revelation. Take a look at it. It talks about Judgment Day. And I think it's fair to talk about that because that's a loving thing to do. It says that books will be open on the last day, and whosoever name is not found in the book of life will be cast into outer darkness, but they whose name is found in the book of life will enter eternity with Jesus. And that choice is not up to God, that choice is up to us. And so this all begins with prayer. And so if you're thinking, yes, I just feel, Pastor Jason, that you're talking to me, then I want to invite you to pray this prayer after me. Are you ready? Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, I ask you this day to forgive me of all of my sins. I ask you to cleanse me on the inside and to fill me right where I sit with your Holy Spirit. I thank you today. I'm forgiven and I'm saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let me pray for you before we close. Father, thank you for every single person who prayed that prayer. Strengthen them now, and may the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit lift every oppression, lift all depression and darkness in and over their life in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to do me a favor right now. If you gave your heart to Jesus, I don't want anyone else doing this, but if you gave your heart to Jesus, would you just click the heart button right now, the heart button on your Facebook emoji platform? If you gave your heart to Jesus, whether for the first time or you've rededicated your life to him, just click right now, just once, the heart emoji. Or even better, go to our webpage, click I'm new, and select salvation in Jesus, and one of our team will be in touch with you. Well, God bless you so much. We want to say thank you for joining us here at Gateway. Hashtag whoop on the line. And if you haven't already heard, we've launched two new broadcasts today. So we're going to be having three every Sunday at Gateway. Sunday is fun day at Gateway. I don't know why I said it like that. But anyway, at 11:30 a.m., we're going to have a virtual foyer experience. And that's going to be for about 15 to 20 minutes. It's going to be an opportunity for us to engage with you a little bit more. I've actually got Paul, Ian Otter, my little Italian stallion, my little Italian pony. He's going to come and join me during the virtual foyer experience. And we're going to hear from him and what blessed him today. And for the first time, we are also launching a third broadcast, which we're calling Swahili Sunday. It begins precisely at 12 p.m. We've got Pastor Barley bringing God's word. It starts at 12. It'll conclude by 12:45. So we want to say to all of our African community, Karibu, Asante Sana, Buona Yesafiwe, and we want to encourage you also to share the broadcast. Tag your African brothers and sisters and Aussies all over the world, and may it be a great blessing to you. So once again, thank you so much. We're going to close now with a few announcements online. God bless. Hope to see you 11:30 a.m. and at 12 as well. Thank you. Thanks, guys. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.